Welcome to episode 64 of Communicast, a communication skills podcast. I'm Scott D'Amico, president of Communispond, a global communication skills training organization. Measure twice, cut once. Fantastic advice for so many areas of life from my guest, Eric Allgreen. Eric is the founder and executive coach at Allgreen & Company. In this episode, we talk about resilience, managing ego, persuasion, and the power of kindness. I hope you enjoy. Eric, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Really looking forward to our conversation. And before we jump into it too far, why don't you tell the folks listening to this just a little bit about you, your career journey, and what you're working on today?
Yeah, so my career journey, I think, has been a bit out of the ordinary, not too conventional. I'm a trained smith, so iron cutting, iron welding, building things in iron. Did that in an apprenticeship from when I was 16 to 20, and then for a number of years, just only like four or five years more than that. And then I knew that that was not what I was meant to do with my life. And I took 20 years in the entertainment industry. And after a somewhat successful CEO position, but ended up being fired, I started developing my own coaching methodology. And I have been coaching people for the past 20 years, predominantly within the space of their work life, but from a somewhat existential perspective as well. So, yeah.
That's quite a journey to go from metalworking to the entertainment space to the CEO to now really focusing in on coaching. What made you make that leap throughout the career, especially kind of starting into this coaching aspect?
When I was let go of my CEO position, of course, that CEO position was very precious to me because I didn't have, I wasn't supposed to have any access to stuff like that because that was not in the cards. So after the first couple of days of resentment towards my board of directors that let me go, I started to look at who I had been instead of who they were, and to see if there was something to learn there. So if, was there something in this mishap that I could not change, but that I might be able to do something about for the future? And I found something, and I used that to make the most out of my 4 months leave that I had after they told me that I wasn't supposed to work there anymore. So, and it actually turned into them asking me to stay after the 4 months because I did so well. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. And I was pretty certain that the because I had nothing to lose, because they already fired me, that had built up some courage or possibilities in myself that made me go above and beyond what I had done the previous 5 years in the same position. And I kind of promised myself to, it was too interesting to see what that was. And what if I was just an ordinary everyone person like everyone else, maybe I could teach this to someone else and they could do the same.
Fascinating. Yeah. Sometimes it takes those big events in life to really cause us to step back, reflect a little bit and think about, you know, what can I do? What's the potential? And it's really cool to hear how you leverage that experience, taking somewhat of a potentially negative and turning it into a positive and going down an entirely new career journey for you. So that's great to hear. And Eric, I would think throughout your career and you're working in so many different spaces, and especially with the work that you do today, your communication is going to play a big part of that and communication skills, especially when working with leaders. So as you think through that lens of communication, to you, what does it look like or what does it mean when you hear the term that somebody is a great communicator? What's the vision that comes to mind?
If I may, I want to start in the other end of the same spectrum, which is I lived in Los Angeles for 4 years with my family. We were going on an adventure. I'm based in Copenhagen, Denmark. So that was a big adventure. And I got amazing clients there, executive clients for my coaching. And one of them were this film producer. And he had an idea of making a Lego movie, like the Lego blocks, the Danish plastic Lego blocks, the building blocks for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I always forget, is it Lego or Lego or how do you pronounce
Lego.
It? Lego. Okay. Lego. So he had this idea that there should be feature film length Lego movies, like high prestigious, high end production value and stuff like that. And which are the ones that we all now know today of Everything is Awesome and all that.
Yeah.
And so I helped him, Dan Lin, to get to like for the first 2 or 3 years of that. But in one incident, he had a conflict between Lego and Warner Brothers, not a big one, but just like some misunderstanding of expectations or something. And he said, the one in charge in one of the companies is very fearful, and I want to go and like shake them up and listen to how important this is and get that thing straight, right? And get in line and like start to work for this. And I said, the way that you're talking about it, I'm not sure that he or she will be that excited or inspired about that approach. But what if you instead ask the person what they're concerned about? And maybe offer your services. Is there anything I can do to help you not be concerned anymore and remove those obstacles? And maybe that could ease everything out. And he was like, oh, that was smart, and put down his baseball bat and went to the meeting. And the person at the end, the other end of the very big mahogany table, said, I felt very appreciated that was the approach that is there anything I can do for you instead of you should do something different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was an example of two different approaches to communication, where it to solving a conflict just through sheer communication, right? Very small change, but very powerful.
It's two things that jump out to me when I think of effective communicators and some of the best communicators out there. As you're talking through that story, the first one is they focus on their audience and what's important to their audience. And sometimes they put what's most important to them. They set that to the side for a little bit and really want to drill down into the audience. So for the studio executive or whoever they were, what was important to them? What was causing their fear? And then to do that, to focus in on the audience, you need to ask questions. So rather than going in with the iron fist and demanding we're going to do this and taking that very hardline approach, step back a little bit, think about the audience, and then ask questions to really discover what those concerns or challenges are. And then you kind of come in with your perspective and relate it to those challenges and how you can potentially overcome them and come up with a solution that works for everybody. So I think, yeah, right, you can take the inverse of it. A great communicator does this, or you can look at somebody where, this communication probably wasn't going to be well. What weren't they going to do? And then flip it, right? If you do these things, you're going to have a much bigger impact on your communication.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think once you know that there is something you want to accomplish, then I think it's all about who are the parties of interest in the same opportunity, right? And understand their incentives, their concerns, and then not obey to them, but just speak to those and have conversations about this. Because at the end of the day, any communication between two people is all about, to me, all about finding relevance in the companionship, mm-hmm. right? It's not about you being good or bad or too tall or too short or whatever, right? It's about if we have the same understanding of this opportunity or this challenge, should we work on this together, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think having that shared understanding is important. It doesn't necessarily always mean you're going to agree, but if I can at least understand your perspective and understand where you're coming from, that will help me say, okay, you know what? We may not agree fully, but I get where you're coming from. Let's move forward and try this out. And a big part of communication, especially as you get a kind of higher up in the organization that you run into, is sometimes with ego. You need to let the ego go and take the time to understand the other person's perspective and realize, I might not always be right. Or while my idea might work, it's likely not the only idea that will work. And that kind of brings me to something that I wanted to chat with you a little bit about with the work that you're doing today, coaching executives. As you're working with these executives to develop their leadership skills, what are you seeing either maybe some communication skills that are perhaps very lacking or the communication skills that really are most important to help these leaders be successful?
I want to talk to what you just mentioned there, this the part that ego plays in this, in communication. The less space that your ego has in any conversation, the more fruitful it is. Because in my understanding of the ego, this is not right or wrong or good or bad. It's just like my perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my ego is only there to maintain and stabilize, right? My ego is only there to make sure that I don't look wrong, don't look bad, that I'm invited in again tomorrow, that I'm not rocking any boats, that I'm living up to other people's expectations, that I'm better safe than sorry. But in any opportunity where we could lift something that we had to a height that we haven't lifted it to before, or remove a challenge that is in our way, we cannot stabilize and maintain. We have to apply something new, right? Because
mm-hmm.
because that's what it takes. And so that is the biggest fear and risk for your ego, because anytime you engaging in something new, the likelihood of failing is, of course, greater
mm-hmm.
than if you do something you've done 1,000 times before. But if the approach that you have used 1,000 times before doesn't work, then you have to apply yourself in a different way. And then you have to let your ego go and telling it that we will be fine and without you concerned. I mean, I see the ego as a hen mother that is just mm-hmm. trying to hold me away from any new experience. Good or bad, doesn't matter. It is just so fearful and so protective of Eric as a human being that it doesn't allow me to take any chances on anything. So so the more I succeed letting go of my ego, or my executives the same, the more they can meet other people, open, curious, exploratory, with creative opportunities and new ways of getting new results, right? So I think that I think that's the biggest thing with the leaders today that I'm coaching here and in the States, is that they know and understand what their ego is and what role it plays and how they can like take it down a notch. And then mm-hmm. another one is that and of course what goes for the leaders goes for everyone else as well, because we're just human beings, but another thing is give direction to other people about who you are and how you're wired. I think that it becomes more and more apparent to the majority of us that being normal, that doesn't exist anymore, that we are all on a version of a spectrum somewhere, that where we are more or less this or that, or more introvert, extrovert, whatever it mm-hmm. is, whatever you call those parts of the spectrum, or ADHD or whatever it is, right? And I think that what I really appreciate and see working beautifully for leaders is that they can give other people direction on their personality and from that make it easier for people to be with them. So I think I have a some of the ADHD thing. I'm a very active person. I talk a lot. I tend to interrupt. I'm working on that, so it's not as much as it used to be. But it's still something that I have. When I tell other people that that's who I am, they know that it's not to intimidate them or to
mm-hmm.
to want to listen to them. It's who I am, and I know that it's not working for me always, and it's good for me to tell them that that's who I am, and also give them direction on how to be with me. I mean, not
mm-hmm.
direction as something they have to follow, but just like an opportunity. You could say, Eric, can I finish what I just said? And I'll be like super happy that they didn't let me go, right? It's like that I'll go on and on, because I don't want to be that person, but I am that person, right? So it's, and I think that those two, the ego and then the direction on who I am, so mm-hmm. people, interesting. And that's super easy, right? And so I actually did it with a group of partners at a big law firm in here in Europe, where there it was a group of 40 partners. I gave them a vocabulary and a way of identifying what was important to them, so they could talk about themselves in a different way. And the like the conclusion of the exercise is 4 different values that are the most important to you in every day at work. they found it so helpful that they printed them out and put them on the side of the door under their name tag, so that every time you walk into a colleague's office, you can give yourself an orientation about who is Scott, mm-hmm. right? Oh, he's about community. He's about challenges, about recognition and adventure. That is good for me just to have that orientation before I engage mm-hmm. with you in your office, right? It's very simple, but it's very helpful.
And you know, there's entire industry surrounding all of this with really identifying, you know, personality traits and drivers and just underlying ways to work with people. And as you were talking, there's three things that jumped out to me. If I was to kind of boil it down to three things: balance, context, and awareness. So when it comes to the ego, ego sometimes gets a bad rap. And it's typically when it skews too far to one side, when you're an egomaniac and you just have to be in control and it's all about you. Yeah. But if you think about it, if you go too far to the other side and your ego is just non-existent, it can hurt your credibility. You might not get invited back to the room because people aren't seeing that you're confident in your approach. So you need to find that balance of where I come across as confident, but my ego isn't so strong that I am scared to try new things for sake of failing and maybe not looking right all the time. So I think that's the balance component.
Can I comment on that? Because yeah. I see that as fear and courage, and I think the ego is always in my way. I think that if the ego is gone, with the ego like put to like sleep over in the corner somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And me being about myself, what is important to me, and choosing the courage to succeed before the fear of failing, when I come from that balance, then I think it was never about my ego, but I still can be assertive. Mm-hmm. I can still bring my message across. So we might be talking about the same, but it's just mm-hmm. that distinction that to yep. me is pretty relevant. Sorry. Yeah.
I know. I absolutely appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So once you have the ego component figured yeah. out, right? You know, that second part is the context. And that's really providing to other people more about you. And sometimes it's simply when you're asking question is it's, you know, the reason I'm asking is, or, hey, I'm a naturally curious person. Or as you said, you interrupt a lot. So as people know that about you, you provide that context. They can say, you know, Eric, can I finish my thought, please? And then the critical part of all of this comes down to awareness. In order to be able to keep that ego in balance with, it's going to keep you from being too fearful or too courageous or missing things, to be able to provide the context, you really do need to be aware of yourself. And whether that is going through assessments and learning, you know, a big thing that we encourage is, you know, recording and watching yourself communicate. You can pick up on little things that you're doing if you're recording a conversation with somebody. And then beyond that, paying attention to how other people react when you communicate with them. So if I'm aware and I'm constantly interrupting you and I can see you kind of, you know, being taken aback or starting to close off with your body language, you know, that's going to signal to me, maybe I need to change the approach. I think if you get the balance, provide the context, and you have the awareness in order to maintain the balance and provide the context, that will definitely help take you to the next level.
I'm smiling because there was an incident. I had a company in Los Angeles when I lived there, and we had an all staff meeting. We were 15 people or something. And we were around the big table in the conference room, and I had some opinions or something. I forgot what it was, the details of it, but I didn't feel understood. I didn't feel listened to. I didn't feel that anyone, and I felt like misunderstood. And at some point I got so frustrated that I got up, pushed my chair back behind me, walked out of the conference room. And this was everyone in the firm was there, right? And I was one of the co-founders. And I walked out of the room, down the stairs, out on the side street that we were on, and walked down the sidewalk, like in frustration, right? Mm-hmm. And I heard steps behind me, and I was like, so now someone is coming to go, are you okay, Eric? Sorry, we didn't listen to you. That was what was going on in my mind, mm-hmm. right? That was not what happened. That was my partner, and he was like, hey, dude, I mean, you cannot, what's wrong? You cannot just like, this is your company. I mean, you cannot mm-hmm. act like that. What was, I mean, I get that you're frustrated, but you cannot, that's not cool. And I was just like, oh man, I knew that that was totally out of line and not very inspiring. That, and everyone thought that they did something wrong, and they didn't. It was just me that didn't have the ability to come across with whatever it was like. And I took it out on them, right? It was like, and that was a huge learning for me. I share this this instance many times, or almost weekly, because it was so educational for me.
And that's so great that you had a partner that was willing to say that to you, right? Rather than just kind of letting it pass, and then all your employees feel like, you know, they did something wrong and it's on them and it's their fault. The fact that you had a partner, you had that type of relation that could come and say, Eric, you know, that's not okay. We need to fix this and address this, is powerful, because it helps you grow, helps you get better, and ultimately is going to help your organization do better.
Of course. And it even gave me an opportunity to call in for another meeting the following day and tell them what happened, right? Why I was frustrated, and that it was on them, that it wasn't on them, that it was my choice that I reacted as I did, and that I apologized for that, right? Which, of course, was a very nice feeling, because that was me being true to myself and also showing that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you own it. And
yes.
And they were super supportive, because I told them that it was difficult and I couldn't find another path. And they were very compassionate about that, right? Because I gave them that opportunity as well.
Absolutely. And it kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about next. We just saw an example maybe of what not to do, or a skill that wasn't so strong. But if you think through your career, and if I were to ask somebody close to you, what's the key communication skill that has helped Eric achieve the success that he's had throughout his career, what would that communication skill be?
I don't know if you, I mean, you have done communication for many years, so I hope that you have an expansive understanding of communication.
Yes, very broad
and
view.
It might sound a bit cheesy, and I doesn't really know if it fits, but it still is. I want to say love, and I want to say love from a perspective, of course, not romantic, but love for my fellow human being, which is something that is not something I'm claiming myself, but it's something that a lot of people has told me. And I mean, my wife, Christine, is one of my, I mean, she's one of my biggest supporters, but she's also a big critic, of course, because she knows my aspirations, right? So she will call me out. And one thing that she says that I have going for myself in terms of communication is that I'm rarely judging anyone. That I she has an image of me loving every human on earth, which is of course not true, but it is, and it's not something, it is very easy for me. And I think it makes it very easy for other people to be with me and to talk to me, because they don't think that I have an agenda. They don't think that that they are wrong in the presence of me or in my company. They don't think they have to be something specific. So I think that must be like a very, very powerful source of communication or way, or as big as it sound, or I think it's very practical, actually.
Just with the limited amount of interaction that we have, there is, I can tell you, something there that very much puts you at ease when you talk to him. I remember the first time that we connect, you just immediately feel a connection that, you know, Eric is just here to be open, to learn, to talk, to have a great conversation. And whether you call it love, compassion, authenticity, caring, whatever it is, there is very much an intangible thing there when it comes to communication, where sometimes when you meet people, you just feel as a very, you know, instant connection. You feel a level of comfort, and it's rare. And when you have that skill, it's really powerful when it comes to whether it's personal relationships or work relationships, to put people at ease, because oftentimes barriers will start to come down,
exactly.
And then you can move a lot quicker. You can build trust and rapport a lot quicker and keep moving.
That is actually another thing that I think is to what you're saying. And thank you so much for having that experience with me. I think that there's another thing that is, I don't succeed with that as much as the other, but that this conversation is allowed to go not anywhere, but it is, but I'm not considering how this will end. I'm not considering how I can use this relationship. I'm curious about this conversation, and I'm in this conversation. And I think that puts a lot of people at ease, because it's like we are so focused on KPIs and measurables, and it's just it and all of those factors are rational and relevant, but sometimes they just put so much limitation on any conversation mm-hmm. that you might have reached your goal, but you had no idea what could have come out of it if you had let go of that goal before you engaged in the conversation, right? So I think that letting go of the focus on the outcome, because, I mean, let's be honest, you and I have no idea what, how this conversation will go, mm-hmm. but we can be very intentional about being good in the conversation, and then we'll see, right? I think that's another.
You hit on curiosity there, and curiosity for me is a huge part of communication, and especially effective communicators. Whether you're doing a presentation, you're having a sales meeting, or just a one-on-one conversation with a friend or a loved one, when you really have that genuine curiosity, people feel it. They can sense that you're not just asking and going through the motions or things like that. You really are genuinely interested in what they have to say, and people are going to open up more, feel much more comfortable. And I think curiosity is something that's somewhat lacking today. And perhaps it's just because we have information overload, right? We have literally the entire world of information at our fingertips and our hands all day long with a smart device. So curiosity, I think, is waning. So when you meet people that really are curious, and for me, that's, I probably drive some people crazy because I always just want to know. I'm like, oh, yeah. Come on, why is that? You know, it yeah. can be something very mundane, but I just want to know why and understand why that happened or how it works or how it doesn't work. But it's a great way to really help build relationships and make people feel valued.
It's interesting because there's a specific personality type that are the very autonomous, very driven, very progressive, self-reliant people that a lot of excellent skills there. So one of the downsides, or one of the things that they usually find very difficult, is when I say, instead of knowing everything about the meeting that you're walking into, and from that getting exactly what you came for, but nothing else, mm-hmm. try to be there with sincere curiosity. And it's like, and when I say it to them, they're like, huh? It's like, what? Yeah, you should be sincerely curious about the individual in front of you, the person in front of you, mm-hmm. and not just like going through emotions, as you said, or pretend to be curious and ask questions, but really that you want to understand what it is about them and why they are in this meeting with you. And mm-hmm. it's like, that is mind blowing for that personality type. Yeah. What, because they have, they it's something that they never engage in, and it is very powerful communication tool, and it makes everyone relax and feel good about themselves and feel important about your being in company with you, right?
Absolutely. Eric, as you think about your career, your life, who has been somebody that's influenced your communication style? Perhaps what have you taken from them, maybe tweaked, made it your own, and it's now part of your communication toolkit, so to speak?
I think there is one for sure. My grandfather was the priest in one of the larger churches in Copenhagen, the Frederick Church. And so I've been watching him from the, from the seat, from the benches, him at the pulpit. And I didn't understand what I was little, and I didn't understand what he said or what was going on, but I could tell that I found it poetic, and I found it soul soothing. And I could tell from, I was looking around at the congregation, and everyone was like, it was like they were in warm milk, like super comfortable being. And then when it was over, they all wanted to thank him on their way out. He was standing like mm-hmm. next to that humongous door, and next to the Queen's Castle, and they would walk out and he would like shake their hand. And it was so important that they would want to wait for 15 minutes to get out mm-hmm. of the church to make sure that they shook his hand. And I was like, and I don't know that I knew that was, but it was, I think I was like, you can be around other people like that, and people will feel really good about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I did, as little as I understood his message, compassion for your fellow human being, that made a huge imprint on me, or impact on me. And then I think that I think that is something I don't think I can put an like a person on it, but the thing about being a craftsman, where you have to, you can only theorize as much, mm-hmm. then you have to go out and put it into practice. So in my coaching, I think people find very little BS, and a lot of, I love accountability, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so, and accountability comes with measuring a piece of iron twice and cutting once, not measuring 10 times, not measuring one time, not measuring, but, mm-hmm. but talk about what do we need from this piece of iron, and then what should the measurement be? And then I'll measure it twice, just be not an idiot about it, and be, and then it was either on point, too long, or too short.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and I think that this accountability of practice that comes with practice, that you cannot, the second you put something into action, it will show, right? The result will show itself, failing, succeeding, or something in between, right? Yeah. So I think that that's the other side of it.
You're growing up, my dad was very handy, still to this day. He's always doing some sort of project, and that's carried on to me. I like to do home improvement projects. So I was always like a little parrot over his shoulder watching as he was doing things. And one of the things he would always say, and it's still in my mind today, is measure twice, cut once.
Yeah.
Because once you make that cut, there's no going back. And for me, that does carry over very much into communication skills. You need to measure twice, whether it's a speech that you're going to give, a conversation you're having with somebody, an email or a big message that's going out, because once you put that communication out there, there's really no going back. So you need to be thoughtful about it. Don't need to agonize over it for hours and hours and hours and hours. Measure twice, cut once. Absolutely love that.
Also, because then that when you've done that, that is, you can actually go out and you can actually do something about that experience. If it was too long or too short, mm-hmm. or people were mad at your way of communicating, you can go back and iterate and go out and do it again, right? It's like, yeah.
Absolutely. Eric, as we are wrapping up here, what piece of closing advice would you have for somebody listening to this around the importance of developing their communication skills, you know, the impact that it can have on their life and their career by honing these skills that we talked about today?
One of them is a cliche, but I don't think it can be said enough that remember that everyone is carrying around a pile of something that is not good and that is not working for them and that they are sad about or mocked by and that they are trying their best. So be kind. Have tenderness for other people. I mean, be kind to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I think is that I meet a lot, tell other people what you need to succeed. Tell other people what success looks like to you. Because so many people come to me and say, my board of directors don't understand the big opportunity that I'm presenting to them, and they're standing in my way and they are old male elephants or whatever it is, right? And it is always the solution to readdress your dream, your aspiration, and make sure that they really got what that was about. And don't be attached to the outcome. Just people will say what they will say.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Circumstances, conditions, and other people change all the time. So it's like, be aware of other people are carrying around stuff that they are sad about or maybe having bad days, and then share with other people what is important to you and what you need to succeed with that, and then we'll see if you can get that or if they're on board with that. It's kind of like the little child that want to play. If I'm knocking on your door and you're not coming out to play, I shouldn't go back and lie on my bed in fetal position for 2 weeks being sad about you not wanting to play with me. I should just knock on the next door, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until I have someone to play with, right?
Love it. Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is, it's very much along the lines of what you said, is everyone's fighting a battle you know nothing about, so be kind.
Exactly.
Be kind and be clear with what you need to be successful. Eric, great pieces of advice. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really did enjoy the conversation.
Thank you so much. Likewise, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Take care. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, and you too.
A special thanks again to my guest, Eric Allgreen. Eric's closing point about being kind is so spot on. It's amazing how far a little bit of kindness will take you and the impact it can make on someone else's day. As we wrap up this episode, remember that the journey of improving communication skills is ongoing. Make sure to stay connected with Communicast by subscribing so you can benefit from conversations with future guests. If you found value in today's episode, I'd be grateful for your support. Leaving a rating or review is a fantastic way to let us know the impact this show has had on you. Thanks, and have a great day.